Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers his message, Perseverance.
It is so great to have you with us here today on the CC Broadcast as we continue in our journey through Luke's accounting of the Acts of the Apostles, what the disciples did after Jesus ascended into heaven. Our series, again, is entitled Unstoppable. And today we're looking into the Acts text, and really chapters 13, 14, and 15, as the kingdom of God is expanding beyond Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And now they're up north a ways on the north side of the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul and Barnabas and those that were traveling with him in the first missionary journey find themselves in a place called Lystra. And the text is found in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. Where it says, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Father, thank you for this chance to gather together today, to turn our hearts towards you in worship and praise and honor of who you are, and to invite you to speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear, hearts to listen, hearts to believe, hearts to receive, and then give us that desire, that passion in our hearts to follow you like those who have gone before us, with the whole love of our hearts engaged with you. Speak to each one of us as we need to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for this chance to gather together today, to turn our hearts towards you in worship and praise and honor of who you are, and to invite you to speak to us through your word. Give us ears to hear, hearts to listen, hearts to believe, hearts to receive, and then give us that desire, that passion in our hearts to follow you like those who have gone before us, with the whole love of our hearts engaged with you. Speak to each one of us as we need to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power.
It really is a great honor and joy for me to have the opportunity to open the Word of God with you. Our series again is entitled Unstoppable. We find ourselves in Acts chapter 13 through Acts chapter 15. And we want you not only to learn what Acts says and learn about the history, though that is very important, because biblical knowledge helps us make sense of what's happening in the world today. So biblical literacy is very helpful for making sense of life and the world. But we also want people to experience this story and have a sense of what happened in this time and really sort of feel it so we can understand how God works in our hearts, relate with those who went before us, and then be ministered to by their lives. Because the Bible says what is written here was written to give you and I hope, to give us encouragement, to divide our soul from our spirit so that we could freely live the Christian life. And so that's why we study the text of the Bible, walk through the Bible itself because of its great power for us. So in Acts, a quick summary, it's the time after Jesus' life and the disciples were obeying what Jesus told them to do. They went and waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the power of God coming upon them, the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is the era we're continuing to live in. And this is exactly what happened. They were witnesses of who Jesus was, what he did, his nature, his character, his saving work in Jerusalem. Persecution drove them out of Jerusalem. Now they're spreading around in Judea and Samaria, heading north and heading south. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 13. They are north 300 miles in a city called Antioch. And it says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. The church was expanding there. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is the beginning of the first missionary journey of Paul, first of three that are recorded for us in Acts. The church began in Jerusalem there. Antioch is about 300 miles north. Of course, this same part of the world is in our news today often. We all know this. What's been happening in Jerusalem and Israel, the Gaza Strip, Iran, all in that area. It's this intensified area of our world where Jesus came, where Jesus was crucified there, where the church started. Persecution scattered them from there outward. Now they're 300 miles north. It's about 11 years after the ascension of Christ. So 11 years have passed. That's about a 15 days walk at 20 miles a day. So it's no small trip to get to Antioch. But there they sit in Antioch. And the church is growing there. There's somewhat of a revival there. There's spiritual tenacity happening there. There's many leaders that are gathering there. They're praying. They're seeking the Lord. And they send off, pray for Paul and Barnabas under the instruction of God's Spirit, and send them off on this first missionary journey. And then if you read Acts chapter 13, very simply, they go to Seleucia, where they get a boat. They sail to the island of Cyprus. You can read this, you know, some unique things that happen there in Salamis and Paphos. And then they go north in the ship to Perga. And something significant happens in Perga there, where there were not just the two of them traveling together, but there was a group of them. And a gentleman named John Mark leaves them and goes back to Jerusalem. That's significant later in Acts. John Mark abandons them. And then they go north to Pisidium Antioch. It's a different Antioch there north of them. And so there they are in Antioch. And we pick up the story there. They were so well received in the synagogues that the Jews and the people who heard them invited them back again next Sunday. I know this. If you go and you're at a place and you speak and they invite you back, that's a compliment. If they don't invite you back, you just sometimes wonder how it went where you were. They got invited back on the next Sabbath day because they were so liked by those who heard them. And then it says this, the word must have spread. People were inviting because on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. I don't know how big it was, but there were many people gathering there. But there were the Jews who were in charge of the synagogues, and they saw the crowds, and they were filled with jealousy, it says. You know, sometimes when someone else has success, other people get jealous of them. This is a part of the sinful nature. The parts of the acts of the sinful nature are jealousy and envy and rage and these kind of things. And so you have these religious leaders being empowered by their sinful nature before God with this heart of jealousy. And it says they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. So even though a lot of people liked him, there were some who didn't. And they heaped abuse on him. But, the text says, didn't really matter. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jewish leaders incited, notice this, there are enemies in the Christian life. One of them is the nature inside of us, the sinful nature that exists in every human being that's ever been born after the fall. Then there are also the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms that run the systems of this world. There's only so many of them. And so they have to work through systems and people to fight against the light of God. You see, the darkness hates the light. It really can't stand it. It irritates it. So when the light begins to shine, darkness rises up to try and snuff it out. And that's what's happening here again in this city. The word of the Lord, the goodness of God, the light of hope was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jewish leaders were jealous of this, heaping abuse on the people bringing this news. And then they did this because they couldn't handle it themselves. They incited God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. Notice the devil working through the leadership systems in the world. They captivate these opinion leaders, community leaders, God-fearing women. They got deceived by the Jewish leaders, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So now they're moving on, getting out of that city, going south. Paul and Barnabas, the text says, shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them. Paul and Barnabas understand there's a loving God, and a graceful God, and a kind God. But he himself is also holy and righteous, and has standards, and he has a way, and he has a plan. And if you mock his plan, and you fight against his plan, it may come back to haunt you. Paul knew this, because Jesus himself knocked Paul to his feet and said to him, when Paul was persecuting the church, Saul, Saul, how long will you fight against me? And he couldn't see for 3 days. And so what they did, they just
brushed the dust off their feet
as a warning to them and went south. And then it says this, south to Iconium, and they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Notice this idea of joy has nothing to do with their circumstances. It has to do with the Spirit of God, a fruit of the Spirit within them. Their circumstances were miserable as they traveled, but yet they're filled with joy, the Bible says in some places, inexpressible joy, joy that came to them from outside of this world through the Spirit of God. And it's not that much of a trip down to Iconium. And the text says the Jews, there was a plot, Paul and Barnabas at Iconium, went as usual to the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. So now, you know, this revival starts to break out there. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up other Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas, what did they do? There's not violence against them at this point. They just continue to stay there, spend time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed this message of grace, enabling them to perform signs and wonders, miracles to confirm this message. That's what the miracles in the Bible are for, to confirm that Jesus is the Messiah. And the people of the city,
became divided. Some were with the Jews, others with the apostles. There became a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with the leaders to mistreat them and stone them. They found out about it, so they now went to the next city, Derbe, in the surrounding country. They were preaching the gospel. So now they're down in Lystra and Derbe. They first go to Lystra, and this is where we pick up our text from today. Acts 14 says this: the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium down to Lystra. The devil's hunting them down. The evil one works in the unseen but presents himself in the seen. And somehow he's captured the hearts of enough individuals to pursue after Paul and Barnabas and their crew. And they're following them to this city. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they finally got it done. They stoned Paul, stoned him. Basically, they just pick up stones, gather around him, and pummel him at him until he dies. I would just suggest to you that they didn't have free speech there. This was not a place where you were allowed to say what you wanted to say. This was a place where such things were restricted by some, and these people stoned him. They stoned him, dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. They should have read their Old Testament. They would have known Proverbs 24:16, which says, though a righteous man or woman falls seven times, they will rise again. They killed Jesus, yet he rose again. Now they're trying to kill his people, and all it does is continue to spread the good news. The text says this: when the disciples gathered about him, I love these words, he rose up. He rose up. I just want you to understand the reality. I want you to experience this story. I don't know what all has happened to Paul here. He's been stoned and left for dead. His group has deserted him, but then they go gather around him outside the city. Something happens in that group. He rises up, and he doesn't flee, but he goes back into the city. And then on the next day, he goes on with Barnabas down to Derbe. When I read about Paul's life, I think about how much it confronts so many lies about the Christian life. Clearly, when we read about Paul's life, we can observe that there is no promise in the Christian life of it being easy. I mean, you would say Paul's life was anything but easy. Yet he was a follower of Christ. My guess is he didn't carry around bags of money and live with a lot of riches. God didn't bless him in that way, in any kind. The Bible says that Paul once wrote about, you can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, some of the things that happened to him. He was shipwrecked numerous times, bobbing out at sea for a day and a half one time. He was beaten with rods three different times. He was given lashes, 40 minus one, five times, which is 195 lashes, stoned this one time, put in prison numerous times, was often in danger on the road, in the cities, in the country. This man was constantly experiencing resistance in his Christian life. Everywhere he went, his back had to be filled with scars. I mean, it had to be unrecognizable as human skin, just torn to shreds. Clearly, the Christian life is no promise of being easy. Resistance is a part of it. But when you study Paul's life, you also see that the Christian life is filled with many, what you might call, mini resurrections or Rocky Balboa moments, where a person gets knocked down and then just somehow, supernaturally, they get up again. And they get knocked down and they get up again. And they knock down and they get up again. The number 7 in Proverbs 24:16 is not a reference to a specific number. It's a reference to perfection. Though a righteous man falls, as much as God wants him to, they will rise again and again and again and again. You see this in Paul's life, the Christian life, though hard and often resisted, there are many enemies of the Christian life. It has many resurrection-type moments in it. And you see this through the whole book of Acts. through the whole text of Scripture. We also see here that the Christian life is not the Clint Eastwood life. It doesn't work well alone. It's done better in community. Paul and Barnabas traveled together. They were companions. They had a team. When Paul was beat up and put outside the city, the disciples rallied around him. It's not a life of rugged independence, but it's a life of great dependence. I don't know what you're facing today, friends. I met with a gentleman this week who went through a tragic car accident just about 2 weeks ago, and he should have died. And he called and asked if we could visit. And he came into the office here and he just started weeping. And he said, "I've never needed so much help in my whole life." But yet he was excited about what God was doing in his life, keeping him alive. Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. In our gospel reading, he said, "Nation will rise against nation. There'll be violence in the world. There'll be earthquakes in the world. There'll be violence against God's people. There's hardship. So we need to encourage each other. We need to support each other. We need to trust God because there's many resurrection moments. It's not going to be easy." But then you see in Paul's life that the Christian life, somehow in the midst of all this, the fullness of the Christian life breaks forth. The Christian life finds its fullness in perseverance in the face of suffering. I don't know why God planned it that way. The Bible says it is through suffering many saints will be brought to glory. Through hurt and heartache, it is the wine press that makes wine. Paul, on his journey here, is being shaped and molded and fashioned by God, prepared as a part of his bride to be presented to him at the very end. Jesus writes about all these things that will happen to his followers. They're going to experience hardship and pain and suffering in this world. But then he ends by saying, by your endurance, by your perseverance, you will gain your lives. You will step into the life that is truly life. You'll be just sort of squeezed into it by the pain and suffering of this life. You'll gain your lives. Things you don't often hear taught about the Christian life, just blatant right here in front of us. In this text, I want you to pay attention to how this group of disciples continues. When they had preached the gospel in that city and had made many disciples there, you talk about passion, they returned, listen to this, to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, right back into the dungeon. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? They chased him from Antioch to Iconium to Lystra, stoned him there. They left for a while, and then they went back. Perseverance, tenacity, strength. And why did they go there? To strengthen the souls of the disciples. When I first entered ministry here in Cedar Valley, I had an office up at UNI, and I was into my first 3 or 4 months of ministry, and I was just so discouraged at this point. And I was sitting in my office, and my sister, who's here today, felt prompted by God to come to my office. Just surprised me. And she said to me, "Tim, I just came here to encourage you. I think you're doing a great job." And my soul was strengthened. They went there to strengthen their souls, encourage them in their faith. And then they said this, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom." If someone tells you the Christian life is easy, they're lying to you. As a matter of fact, I believe this. The more you push into the Christian life, the more you're going to experience resistance from your own flesh and resistance from darkness. But the Bible says, keep going anyway. Keep pressing into it. Hang on. Find the encouragement you need. Persevere. And as you walk through this, you will find your life. The life that is fullness to the full. Don't you just love the text? I just love it. It fires me up in the midst of a world filled with trivial realities. It brings us back to what matters. The war between darkness and light, good and evil, eternity with God and eternity separated from God. And Jesus has said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it." May the church rise. May the church be encouraged. May the church be strengthened. May the church be empowered by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise. I just remind you today, friends, it is the Spirit of God working in the hearts of people, his people, the church in the world, that is the hope of the world. It's not in government programs. It's not in government leaders. It is not in human effort. It is in the prayer and the work of the Spirit in God's people, in the church. He has told us if his people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he will heal their land. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, again, to look into your word, which we believe speaks to us. Forgive me if I teach it wrong in some way and correct that in our hearts. I pray that your Spirit would help us divide the truth well, that it would separate our soul from our spirit so we could live into that Spirit more fully. And for those of us that believe, oh, Father, forgive us for taking lightly your call, for playing marbles with diamonds sometimes, and work in our hearts to stir us and remind us that this is our time, this is our era, to be faithful before you, to carry the trust well, so that when we see you again, we could hear your words, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moment and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless
is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning into today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.